Hi guys, I'm Kristen Jane Oliva. This is your host and welcome to the OC Media. And now you're listening to my podcast that brings you 7 tips on how to communicate effectively. Today we talk about on how we effectively communicate with other people. So first of all, what is communication? Communication is a key part of a human interaction, which means we all have to communicate with each other in some form every single day. There are many different ways to communicate with people, maybe verbal or non-verbal. Also, communication integrates process of sharing ideas, thoughts, and information. So effective communication is important because it helps the person to communicate easily and interact with other people. Effective communication will improve relationship in home, work, and in social situation. It plays a significant role in improving cooperation, decision making, and analytics. So these tips will highlight some of the best ways of simple tips to help you on your journey after learning on how to communicate effectively. Effective communication skill number 1. Assert yourself. Assertive expression makes for understandable communication and can improve your self-esteem and decision-making skill. Being strong-willed means expressing your thoughts, feelings, and needs in an open and honest way while standing up for yourself and respecting others. This does not mean being hostile, aggressive, or demanding. Confidence generates the courage within. Everyday situations present themselves that need to communicate with confidence. You may have to speak up, ask for help, or simply engage in small conversation. Some people are difficult to do this. Some situation may still talking to a boss or a person you don't know or you don't take along with. This makes communicating with confidence a challenge. Example: when you're in a class presentation or speech, you need to speak confidently and clearly. People are going to take you serious and really going to listen. This is because confidence display dominance and people will want to listen to what you have to say. If you're unconfident when you speak, this will only make people feel uncomfortable and they will want interest to listen to you and they will be bored. Number 2. Become an engaged listener. When conveying with people, we frequently focus on what we should say. Nevertheless, effective communication is less about speaking and more about hearing or listening. Listening well means not only interpreting the words or the content being conveyed, but also understanding the emotions the speaker is attempting to express. So focus fully on the speaker. Some of us and are fond of constantly seeing our phones when somebody is talking to us. You can hear in one busy manner if you're always checking the phone or thinking about something else. Skill number 3. Take clear of all distraction. You may need to be focused on the moment-to-moment content in order to get the nonverbal cues in the speech. If you're finding it difficult to focus on what the speaker is saying, take echoing his or her speeches across at the top of it. It aids to reinforce his or her message and help you focus. Or if you're at the place with many noises backgrounds, you can ask your friend to go somewhere a place is quiet, that easily understand what he or she is saying. Skill number 4. Give attention to a nonverbal signal. Most of our communicating with one another at any relationship is not what we have, but how we say. Nonverbal communication is your body language, includes facial expressions, gestures, body movement, eye contact, posture, the force, the tone of your voice, and even your muscle tension and breathing. Learning conveying better ways that you need to learn how to understand these signals and can help you connect with others, express what you really mean, navigate challenging situations, and build better relationships. First, we need to be aware of individual difference. Second, use nonverbal signals that match with your words. If you say one thing but your body language says something else, your listener will feel confused. Third, avoid negative body language, or so that there will be no causing disagreement or breaking trust. Skill number 5. Keep stress in check. Communicating to reduce tension or stress is an important part of job, family, and home in our life. Developing effective communication skills will help us avoid stressful misunderstanding, fallacious assumptions, and costly errors. When the conversations start to get healed, you require something fast and direct to take down the feeling of intensity. By studying to quickly lessen stress in the moment, you need safely take supply of any strong feeling you encounter, control your emotion, and behave appropriately. First, you must take a moment to calm down. Second, look for humor in the situation, because humor is the best way to relieve stress when communicating. Skill number 6. Be empathetic. Having empathy for another person is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. Lastly but not least, skill number 7, be clear and concise. When you are speaking or talking, be clear or concise and straight to the point. Less is more when it comes to speaking, and speak plain language that easily understand. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you're living with some great things that can help you. Until next time, bye!
Welcome everyone! Hi, my name is Christine Jane Oliva, and welcome to my podcast. And this podcast that will bring you some of my learnings that I've learned in social sciences. Today we'll talk about social science. So what is social science? It is one of the specialized subjects in UMS. Social sciences is a group of academic discipline dedicated to examining society. This branch of science studies how people interact with each other, behave, develop as a culture, and influence the world. Sociological paradigms. It is a model of a set of concepts and theories that frames your perspective on a certain topic or on how society works. The fundamental assumptions that sociologists have about the social world that ones that guide their thinking and research since Ralph Fox don't interpret themselves. All scientific disciplines make assumptions about the world, and all the scientific disciplines use different perspectives depending on the questions they are asking. There were three sociological paradigms of social science. Structural functionalism was created by Emil Durkheim, and his theory is essential as it view the society as a clock. It means that every person in society, at least in line with the theory, has a particular job or role, and they need to do that for everything to work together, whether they recognize or not, if it is similar to clock. It has a unique characteristic. If we take out the sum of the gears of the clock, this will no longer work, and also the same to the society. So everyone needs to do their part in order for the society to function correctly like a clock. And there's the two types of social functions. First is the manifest function. It is a macro, and this is the intended purpose of an institution, like example of a school. Its manifest function of a school is to learn and teach the student to be able to prepare them for the real world. Example, like preparing to college, get a job, to be an adult, and whatever may be to prepare the student to the future and to be the good citizen of the society. And the second is latent function. This is the micro. It is intended consequences that happen. Example of function in school. We'll discover new groups of friends, discover new interests like arts, math, activities that focus on its individuals. The second sociological paradigm of social science is conflict theory. Conflict theory, it was created by Karl Marx, a German economist and a historian, and also known the father of communism. He believes that in society, it has never-ending occurrence of conflict solution, controlling others' group. And this theory are also existed in every aspect of society. Last but not least is symbolic interactional. It is the study of the participants in what is happening here. This theory is on the micro level, meaning it's looking at the individuals, the day-to-day interactions that people shared experiences. Symbolic interactionist theory. It is a micro level theory that focuses on the relationship among individuals with society. It's one of the communications that exchange of meaning through language and symbols. It's believed to be the way in which people make sense of their social words. The theorists Herman and Reynolds, 1994, note that this perspective sees people as being active in shaping the social world rather than simply being acted upon. Rational choice theory is the main assumption in this idea that everything people do is fundamentally rational. Rationality here means that a person is acting as if they were weighing the costs and benefits of possible actions so they can maximize their personal gain. It is rationality is a pattern of choice, not individual choice. So basically, people act in self-interest. They are driven by person's desire and motivated by personal goals. They also calculate the costs and benefits of every actions and choose the one with the best outcome for themselves. There were three assumptions under rational choice. First is the assumptions of completeness, which means that every action can be wrong. Second, transitivity. This means that if we take a look at those three options, I have seen A is preferable to B is preferable to C. So therefore, A is greater than C. The last assumption is called independence of irrelevant alternatives. So this is just a big fancy way of saying that if I study, we have four options. And now we talk about the three assumptions result in a consistent, remarkable, rankable set of possible actions. First is the exchange theory. It is application of rational choice theory to social interactions. So looks to society as a series of interactions between individuals and often used to study family relationship and many more. Second is social institutions. It is a complex integrated set of social norms organized around the preservation of basic societal value. And the third one is primary institutions. It is sociologists often reserve the terms of institution to describe normative systems that operate in five basic areas of life, which are first in determining kinship, second in providing for the legitimate use of power, third in regulating the distribution of goods and services, four in transmitting knowledge from one generation to the next, and fifth is the regulating our relation to the supernatural. And now we're gonna discuss the first theory of psychoanalysis. Freud presented the theory in 1923, saw the psyche structured into three parts, id, or id, ego, and superego, all developing in different stages in our lives. These are the systems not part of the brain or in any way physical. Id is the primitive and instinctual part of the mind that contains sexual and aggressive drives and hidden memories. Superego operates as a moral conscience, and the ego is the realistic part of that mediates between the desires of the id or id and the superego. Thank you for your listening, and I hope you're living with some great things that can help you. Bye, good day. Thank you for your listening, and I hope you're living with some great things that can help you. Bye, good day.